This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Anthony Romero is the executive director of the National ACLU, and your offices are where?
In Manhattan. The headquarters are with me here in New York.
In New York. And your new book is In Defense of Our America, The Fight for Civil Liberties in the Age of Terror, Real Stories of Real Americans. Tell us what the book is about.
Well, what we tried to do in the book was to tell a series of stories that show Americans about what civil liberties is all about. It's not a book about laws or lawyers, not a book about policy wonk or insider beltway politics. It's really a story about people who stand up for their basic rights. And in telling these stories, we hope to make it clear to Americans that this is a really critical time to stand up for our basic liberties and our basic rights. And that when we think about what defines us as a people, as Americans, what makes us feel most proud as a people are some core American values. The right to be innocent until proven guilty, the right to an attorney, the right to equal process and equal protection of the laws, the right to confer with one's counsel and to rebut the evidence against you in a court of law. All of those are the core values that define us as a great nation. And we want to make them come alive through these real stories.
So let's talk about some of these people that you write about in your new book. Share with us some of their stories and why they're so instructive.
Yeah, well, you know, for instance, Kot Hordynski. Kot Hordynski is a young college student. His parents came from Poland. They were fleeing communism. They were looking for freedom. They came to America because they wanted to live in a land where they could express themselves and live in a democratic place. Kot goes to college. He and his fellow classmates at University of California in Santa Cruz decide that they don't really believe in military recruitment on college campuses and organize a protest against military recruitment at UC Santa Cruz. And then a year or so later, he turns on his computer and he finds that he has been entered into a Department of Defense database where he and his fellow students and his student group have been labeled a credible threat to the nation. Now, what Kot has done is done nothing more than express the best of American values, to express his disagreement with government policies, and to stand up for what he believes in. And the idea that we would take individuals like Kot and put them in a government database, label them a credible threat, make them a kind of a subject of government surveillance and government attention, it really speaks about how far we've gone since 9/11, where we turn on ourselves, we take the best of our values, and we betray them.
Anthony Romero is the executive director of the National ACLU, based in Manhattan, and he joins us this afternoon on Charlottesville Right Now. His new book, In Defense of Our America, The Fight for Civil Liberties in the Age of Terror. Anthony, we often hear that, we're at war. We're fighting a war that a kind that we've never fought before against an enemy we've never faced, and so we're going to have to just accept the fact that we will lose some civil liberties if we want to win the war.
Yeah, but the question isn't is it a different type of enemy or a different type of war? The question is, do we want to become a different type of America? Do we want to become the type of America where you're innocent, where you're guilty until proven innocent, where you're not given your right to confer with your counsel? Do we want to become an America where we no longer believe that everyone is equal under the law? And that, for me, they're much more serious questions. And our country and our great democratic institutions are certainly strong enough to deal with the threat of the terrorist threat. We are much stronger than that. And our courts and our Congress and our best of institutions can readily deal with all the challenges that the murderers and the terrorists throw at us. The key for us is not to betray our fundamental principles and our fundamental values. For me, one example of this is the right of habeas corpus. You know, the right to habeas corpus is one that even predates the American Revolution. It goes back to the Magna Carta. It means in Latin, produce the body. That if the government's going to hold you, they're going to have to give you a way to contest your unlawful imprisonment in jail. And what happened in the aftermath of three Supreme Court decisions that were a serious rebuke to the Bush administration was that the last Congress gave the president additional powers under the Military Commissions Act and repealed habeas corpus. Now, that is too fundamental. We're not a nation where we lock up people and we don't give them a chance to contest their detention in a court of law. We're much bigger than that. We're much better. That's what defines us as Americans, is our strong tradition of democratic adherence and our belief in some fundamental values that define us as a free and great people.
Anthony, what do you say to the people out there, Americans, who believe in the principles that you're talking about, but who are afraid? They're afraid for America. They want America to survive this threat that we face. We were bombed. Thousands of people lost their lives in your hometown. What do you say to these people that are genuinely frightened that America is truly threatened like never before?
Yeah, I know. I mean, and first, we've got to recognize that fear, and we've got to recognize the threat for what it is and not minimize it. I mean, I live in New York, as you say. I had a view of the World Trade Center out of my window. I remember the smoke hovering in Lower Manhattan when I was here in the days after 9/11. And so we ought not minimize the threat. The questions we have to ask ourselves for our elected officials and our government officials is, how do we keep America safe and free? It's not safe or free. It's not just safe. It's not just free. How do you have both? Because both of those components are what define America, a country where you have safety and freedom. And what laws and what policies and what programs are going to advance both our national security and not erode our civil liberties? That's what we ought to start out with. Because if we start out with this kind of Faustian bargain that we have to trade off our liberties to have a semblance of security, we're going to have neither. We're not going to be secure, and we will certainly have given up much more than we will have gotten in return.
Anthony Romero is the executive director of the National ACLU. His new book is In Defense of Our America, The Fight for Civil Liberties in the Age of Terror. Tell us about some of these other real Americans and their stories in your book.
The another one I would point to would be the story of a woman out of South Dakota. She was the principal chief of the Ogallala Sioux Nation. And when the governor of South Dakota passed a law that would ban any and all abortions in South Dakota, she stood up and she said, as the head of a Native American nation in South Dakota, she's not subject to the state laws of the governor. And so she said that if necessary, they would transfer the Planned Parenthood clinic onto her Native American reservation. And what the whole story then we tell about is how outside interests in South Dakota, including the religious right, and especially Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson and others, really use a very divisive issue to divide community members against community members, residents against residents. And ultimately, the overwhelming majority of South Dakotan voters, you know, technically a red state, voted not to outlaw all abortions. So they decided that no matter what's personal point of view would be, whether you agreed or disagreed with abortion, that was a decision for a woman and her doctor and her family and not for politicians. And so we tracked that through that case. There's another one of a young boy, Matt Limon, who's just a shade above formal mental retardation, who when he was 18 years old was at a boarding school for other troubled and developmentally disabled kids and was engaged in a form of sexual experimentation with another boy at the school. And when he was caught, because the other boy was just shy of his 15th birthday and Matt had just turned 18, it was considered statutory rape. And had it been a relationship between a boy or a girl, had it been a relationship between a boy of 18 and a girl of 15, they would have been sentenced to 15 months, in detention. Because it was two boys involved, Matt was sentenced to 17 years in prison, and he served five of them.
Anthony Romero, the executive director of the National ACLU, is our guest, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Steve is online, too. Steve, welcome to the program. You're on with Anthony Romero. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Mr. Romero.
Hi, Steve. How are you? It's always Anthony, please.
You mentioned that Congress just now repealed habeas corpus. Are you saying that I, right now, don't have the rights of habeas corpus as a U.S. citizen in Charlottesville?
Well, no. The right to habeas corpus was repealed for a very small subset of detainees. But the question for us as American citizens is, if we allow them to repeal the right of habeas corpus for any person in the American jurisdiction, then we have to really worry about whether or not we have the right ourselves to habeas corpus. And to give you one example that this is not a far-fetched notion, remember that there was a case of Jose Padilla, who was an American citizen picked up at Chicago O'Hare Airport, who was never charged formally with any crime. He was, until recently, he was only held as an enemy combatant. And for more than 2 years, that American citizen apprehended on American soil was denied access to his lawyer. And so the point I would make for you is that even though this one particular of the Military Commissions Act repealed habeas corpus rights for a subset of individuals, primarily those individuals in Guantanamo, the implications for Americans are much greater.
Steve, thanks so much for the call. Anthony, let me ask you, why is it that whenever we hear conservatives talking, they absolutely go to great lengths to demonize the ACLU and the work that you do?
Well, you know, I think it's sometimes it's a good way to try to get elected. Sometimes it makes for good headlines or fun media shows. But the fact is, when you look at what the ACLU has done over the years and what we've done, we've been about conserving the best of American values. And we do so no matter what the political ideology of the person involved. I mean, this is an organization we stood up for the rights, for instance, of individuals that we detest and we loathe, groups like the Nazi Party or the Ku Klux Klan. When Rush Limbaugh was being attacked and prosecutors were going after his medical records, we jumped in and filed a brief on his case and saying that even Rush Limbaugh, who fights us tooth and nail on all of our issues, has a right to medical privacy in his case. There's a case, Fred Phelps, the man who runs the church that says that the reason why the soldiers are dying in Iraq because America's granting rights to gays and lesbians, and then he organizes protests at military funerals, so kind of an awful effort in the expression of free speech, but one that deserves to be protected nonetheless. I mean, he has a right to express himself, even when we totally disagree with what he says. And so I think a lot of conservatives just choose to look at only one part of the picture, and sometimes we have clients who are really unappealing. Some of them are detestable people, but often when you pull back the peel back the onion and you see what are the core principles involved behind some of these unsavory figures, you see that the core principles really are about the equality of the law and as it applies to all people.
So,
and that often gets lost in the media scuttle.
So when you get up and go to work, you're not really working to protect people. You're working to protect American principles,
American values, and the rights of all people, and not making the value determinations about whose speech is better or whose God is better or whose beliefs are better. That in a democracy as big and as pluralistic as this one, the only way it's going to work is by allowing people to have the ability to express themselves and to believe in what they believe.
Anthony Romero is the executive director of the National ACLU. His new book, In Defense of Our America, The Fight for Civil Liberties in the Age of Terror, Real Stories of Real Americans. This interview will be archived in its entirety on the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at sevillepodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.